the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is a recollection by Sir Evelyn Wrench, who was in London at the end of the Great War in 1918 on Armistice Day. In Victoria Street, a group of Australian boys, accompanied by a band and their girls decorated in red, white and blue, were swinging down towards Whitehall to the huge delight of all spectators. In Whitehall we got blocked, but what did it matter? We danced on the buses, we danced on the lorries, we danced on the pavement, we shouted and we sang. The office boys and girls at the War Office yelled to their companions across the way. We cheered and cheered again and again, while the church bells rang out a peal of jubilation. It was no wonder Australian soldiers were dancing in the streets wherever they might be. Armistice Day marked the end of the bloodiest war the world had ever seen. Depending on who you read, 15 to 22 million people died in the conflict. Although Australia became an independent nation only in 1901, its loyalties lay with Britain, and so the Australian government had committed itself to supporting the British war effort in 1914, and Australian men volunteered to fight and die on the battlefields of Europe, of Turkey, and the Middle East. And fight and die they did. Of the then total Australian population of around 5 million, 300,000 young men went to the Great War. Of those, 60,000 died, a fifth, and 156,000, more than a half, were wounded or taken prisoner. Our Australian troops earned a reputation for their gallantry and courage under dreadful conditions, and they were often used by the British command as the first wave of an assault, leading, of course, to heavy casualties. Nearly 8,000 Australians died in the Dardanelles campaign, 800 at Lone Pine alone, that most famous of the Gallipoli battlegrounds. And the experience was no better for our fellow Australians on the Western Front. The front ran for more than 750 kilometres from the English Channel to the Swiss-French border, and marked all along the way by irregular rows of trench after trench. That line is further than Melbourne is from Sydney. And the names of the places and battles fought along that front are seared into the Australian psyche. The song, excuse me, Pozieres, Ypres, Villers-Bretonneux, Bullecourt, Amiens, Passchendaele, the Hindenburg Line. 10,000 Australians died at Bullecourt, and a total of nearly 23,000 died on the Somme. Australia's then official war historian, C.E.W. Bean, wrote of the Australian engagement at the Somme that the men, quote, are simply turned in there as into some ghastly giant mincing machine. And into that mincing machine Australians went willingly. For Australia did not conscript its soldiers to fight in the Great War. All our Australian diggers were volunteers. It took until Vietnam for conscription to be implemented. The first Remembrance Day was conducted in 1919 throughout the Commonwealth. Originally called Armistice Day, it commemorated the end of hostilities, the signing of the armistice, which occurred on the 11th of November 1918. And it has come to symbolise the end of the war and provide an opportunity to remember those who died. Services such as this one, also observed all around Australia, serve as a potent reminder of the tragedy, hurt and destruction that was wrought upon an entire generation of Australians. And then, as if we never heeded the lesson of that great war, humanity repeated itself in the Second World War, Korean War, Vietnam, two Iraq wars, Syria, and now Ukraine. Here we must admit our failure to heed the message of Jesus, to be faithful people intent on peace and loving our neighbour. For just as great violence was done to Australians on the battlefield, so too have we as a nation wrought great violence against other nations. We too have failed to love instead of hate, to destroy instead of build up, to make peace instead of war. We have killed and we have injured other soldiers who are other sons, other daughters, other husbands, other wives, in the name of our sovereignty or in the name of defence. As both aggressor and victim, we have hurt and maimed. And such knowledge should weigh heavily upon us. The great suffering that we endured as a nation and endured individually by men and women in this very church right now, this morning, echoes across our world. On February 24th this year, Vladimir Putin did the almost unthinkable by launching a full-scale invasion of Ukraine, a sovereign nation. I say almost because every century since 1200, Russia has invaded Ukraine. Untold suffering has been unleashed upon innocents again. And the majority of the world has rightly backed Ukraine and her defence, catching a glimpse of what would befall us all if tyrants such as Putin are left unchecked. And so again, Australians and innocents alike go and fight on our behalf. As we remember today those who fight on our behalf and those who have, we must remember too those of any side who find themselves today with their families in that white hot oven of destruction that modern warfare continues to be. And we must, as individuals and as a nation, do all that we can to make for a world that no longer tolerates this vast human suffering. To be a nation which continues to play its part in solving the world's conflicts and also salving the wounds of those conflicts. We have, as Jesus teaches us in the Beatitudes this morning, an obligation to not only be people of peace, to be people of mercy, to love our enemies, and to care for those whom we have hurt and despised. History has rightly called Australia the lucky country, and how lucky or how blessed we are compared with so many peoples around our world. But such luck or blessing comes at a price. We cannot simply sit back and hold on to the blessings we enjoy, our security, our peace, our abundant natural resources, while a hungry, thirsty, and displaced world begs for help. Just as we remember those who fought in war, who were injured, who paid the ultimate price, we must remember too the lack of generosity, the lack of security, the lack of natural resources that so often sits at the very source of war, and play our part in mitigating future wars by sharing willingly what we as Australians rightly consider as our luck. Just as those people danced on buses and trucks and vans and whipped their way down to Whitehall nearly 100 years ago at the end of the First World War, let's not only remember them and their joy, but also play our part in bringing that joy to all the world, such that all women, all men, all children, regardless of race or creed, may live in a world of peace and prosperity. That is our duty, not only as Australians, not only as people of moral character, but as Christians, people who call the one Prince of Peace, Jesus, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen.